Welcome to Creative Warriors, a community of purpose-driven entrepreneurs, creative thinkers in business doing what we are meant to do. I'm your host, Jeffrey Shaw. Hey everyone, I am really excited to be here today with Lori Nordstrom. Welcome, Lori.
Hey, thanks, Jeff.
So let me tell you a bit what I know about Lori Nordstrom. So Lori is known as a leader in the photography industry in the areas of business, marketing, and sales. She owns a boutique photography studio in Winterset, Iowa, specializing in children and family portraits. Lori is well known as an educator in the photography industry and creator of phototalk.biz. In 2010, Lori began her own nonprofit organization, Dando Amor, which means giving love, whose mission is working with orphaned children. So as you can see, Lori is a true entrepreneur in every sense of the word, and I'm really looking forward to diving in and hearing more about what makes Lori tick. So in order to do that, I'm going to start off with a question I like to ask of all my guests, which is, Lori, tell us something about who you are, not what you do, something your bio doesn't say, because we want to be able to connect with you personally.
Well, that might be scary, Jeff. No, I think, wow, something personal. I just started knitting, which is crazy. But I have a grandchild, number two, on the way, which is also crazy. And my daughter and I decided that we were going to take knitting classes. So we've been knitting, and that's something that most people, if they heard that about me, they would say, no freaking way, because I don't have the patience.
That's great.
It's been something to do that, you know, get to spend some time with my daughter, going to our classes and doing that, and make stuff for the baby. So
I think that's awesome. And as a New Yorker, I have to say, I see a lot of people knitting on the subway. So it must be.
Really? Yeah.
It must be making a comeback. So second question is, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, a meaningful quote or a favorite book that you would offer to inspire us, and why?
Man, I am a book junkie, and I buy every new business book that comes out there. I haven't read a book for, I mean, it's my pleasure reading business books, but, you know, what other people consider pleasure reading, I haven't done since I was probably a teenager. But I love business books, and I buy everything, and I start everything. I don't always finish everything. But I would say, you know, some of my favorite books are Seth Godin. I love him. I love On Marketing by Scott Stratton. I'm looking here at my bookshelf. The 80-20 Sales and Marketing book from Perry Marshall. Perry Marshall is awesome. You know, and I love little things. I've got books just kind of sitting in different areas of my house that I like, that are just like, you know, quick pick-me-up, read, short blurb kind of books, like books from Tony Robbins. I've got the 60-Second Innovator book, different devotionals. I find a lot of inspiration just from the spiritual side that apply to business for me, that I make apply to business. Books on being grateful, that's very important to me. So books, man, that's a hard question as far as my favorite, but I would say one of the biggest tips that I've gotten back when I was not making very good choices in both business and personal was, you know, just the fact that you become like the five people you spend the most time with. And that was something that really hit me at the time, and I constantly think about now. You know, who am I surrounding myself with? And I think that's really, really important to, you know, not only business success, but personal success, to really be thinking about, you know, if I want to be a better parent, if I want to be a better spouse, if I want to be a better business person, if I want to be better in my, you know, spiritual walk or my giving or, you know, whatever area, who am I surrounding myself with? And I think that's so important to, you know, and it doesn't mean that you can't lift someone else up who's not in the place where you want to be, or you can't be an encourager or spend time with somebody who's not there. But, you know, really, who are you choosing to be around? And I think that was really important for me at a time when I needed it, and something I constantly think about.
That's awesome. I love that. It's funny. It's one of those words of advice I've heard as well, but have sort of forgotten about. So thank you for reminding me about that. And I think you and I share a passion for as nonfiction junkies. Like I'm the same. That's all I read is nonfiction, business, and but yet get so much inspiration. So I think we share that as well. So what I would love to hear from you, Lori, having known you for a while and you know and seeing you in the photo industry. But what is your? I'd like to hear what your entrepreneurial story is. Like, take us way back to as far back as you choose to. How did you know you were an entrepreneur? Like someone who is meant to blaze their own path. When did you get the first inkling of this?
Well, that does go way back because I have never ever worked for someone else. So I've had my own business since I was 16 years old. And at the time, my first business was cutting hair. And even my very first quote unquote job cutting hair was, I did go into another salon, but I rented my space. And so, you know, you rented your station and, you know, it's your own little business within someone else's business. And, you know, through the years, that's all I've done is work for myself. I had one little stint where I worked at Applebee's, and I did that after moving locations. I moved to a different town and then had moved back and was kind of rebuilding my hair salon business. I worked at Applebee's for a while as a single mom and, you know, needed that extra income. And so I worked at Applebee's, but, you know, even working at Applebee's for the short amount of time that I did, I learned so much about business, which sounds crazy, but, you know, a lot of waiting tables, you know, that whole thing is, it's a lot. It's based on, you know, your tips, and your tips are based on efficiency and customer service and even your personality and how you work with people. And so I learned a lot about that. And then the other thing that I learned through that time was, you know, just something about focus and time management and some of those things that are so hard for creatives. And that was one of those things that, you know, I knew that when I was at Applebee's, all I did was Applebee's. You know, I wasn't doing, you know, I wasn't starting a load of laundry, and I wasn't going to the grocery store, and I wasn't searching around online. And of course, that wasn't even available back then because it was the dark ages. But, you know, you went to work and you did your work, and then you went home and you did other things. And I think that's a huge thing right now for creatives. And the space that we're in is, and, you know, I'm a photographer. You come from a photography background as well. And, you know, there are so many people that have home businesses or on location businesses. And we get into this cycle of, yeah, there's 8 hours in a day, but how many hours of those am I actually focused on the job at hand? You know, there are all these other distractions and there's things that can pull me aside. And, you know, so working at Applebee's really taught me a lot about that when I look back at it.
What's cool about that, Lori, is that nowadays there's this term called intrapreneur. You know, you've probably heard it. Which are, so you were an intrapreneur before the term was even invented, in that it's someone within a company of entrepreneurial spirit. So they're within a company, but they have the spirit, which brings me to the question. Do you think being an entrepreneur is a mindset? I mean, because in a way the way you describe even being a waitress at Applebee's was that you were still an entrepreneur, taking control of your own destiny and destiny of the tips that you receive. So is being an entrepreneur a mindset? And if so, what ways do you think you thought differently or do think differently?
I definitely do think it's a mindset. And I came from a family. My dad was a Baptist preacher. My mom is a hospital administrator. And so they were people with the J-O-B, you know, they weren't people that were starting their own businesses or, you know, kind of had that mindset. And so, I don't really know where it came from to begin with. I just knew from a very young age that I wanted to be able to decide where my time was going and what became of that time. And, you know, we've all heard the term trading hours for dollars. And even in the creative industry, there's only so many hours that you have. And so being an entrepreneur in the true spirit of it means that you're constantly looking for streams of income. And so, you know, whatever, there's so many opportunities available to all of us. It just depends on where your mindset is. And so definitely, I do believe it's a mindset. And I think it's so easy to start a business these days. And especially for a photographer, you know, you pick up a camera and somebody tells you, hey, I love your pictures. We take pictures of my kids, or you shoot my wedding, or whatever it might be, just because you have a good camera. And all of a sudden, oh, I'm a professional photographer, you know, but you're even somebody that's got crafted goods or a jewelry maker, or, you know, there's just so many things. But starting a business does not make you an entrepreneur. And in fact, I think that entrepreneur concept is really foreign to most creatives. So it's definitely, I believe, a mindset.
Okay.
For sure.
So let's round. That's such a great point. I want to continue on your path. So here you were, you know, genuinely recognizing that you had an entrepreneurial spirit, and you were a waitress, and then of course you went on to be a, you know, highly successful photographer in a way that you kind of made the improbable possible by being a successful photographer in a small rural town. So how do you think that you were able to make that work? You had to tell me again the demographics of Winterset, Iowa, 5,500 people or so?
5,500, yes. Mm-hmm. We're in a small little town. And really the majority of my business comes from about 45 minutes away, and that's in Des Moines, Iowa, which is a, you know, it's a bigger area. But I've had to work very hard to be able to bring in business. I have had a studio location, and so I've got to bring people to me to support that business and that location. And, you know, so it, I think a lot of times, and I know you being a business coach, same as me, you know, we hear excuses all the time, every day. It's, if only this, and if only that, and, you know, well, you've got this, and you can make it, you know, no, you decide what your business is going to be like, and then you work to make it happen. And I think that's what has made things possible for me in a tiny little town. I don't have clients from my town. You know, I'm in this cute little quaint town. It's a very touristy area, but it's not, you know, it's buses of older people that come in to see the bridges of Madison County. This is where the movie was shot. It's the home of John Wayne. You know, it's like, it's an older sleeper community. It's not the community I'm drawing clients from. And so, you know, I've had to say, okay, here's my target base and here's where I'm going. And so making that possible, you know, I think a lot of it for me was failure, to be honest. And, you know, that's just kind of it's a rough thing to say. It's a hard thing to say, but, you know, kind of that willingness to stick it out through the failures and learn from the failures. And, you know, I really think that's part of what makes a true entrepreneur, is being able to fall down and get back up. But, you know, and it wasn't a failure from the outside to a lot of people, you know, but for me, a lot of internal failures. And I went through divorce. I hurt my family. I went through a lot of rough times. And, you know, and this has been, you know, 15 years ago, but not being as profitable as I could have been or should have been for a lot of years in comparison to the time I was putting in. And of course, that's something we see every day now, that people are just giving away their time. And time is so valuable. You know, it's really, at the end of the day, that's all we have. So, you know, then at the end of all of that, it's just that mindset that you talked about. You know, it's becoming I became a photographer when I became a photographer as a business owner who happened to have a camera, and not the other way around. And I think that's, you know, that's what a true entrepreneur does. You know, it's not about always, I've got this passion, and so, you know, here's what I'm going to do, and maybe I'll make this profitable. It's, no, I'm a business owner, and now what can I bring into it to be profitable?
So what was a turning point for you then, with the struggles and the internal failures, the personal challenges? Because this is not how people know you today, clearly, you know? So what was a turning point?
Well, the real turning point for me was divorce. And it was waking up one day and realizing I have really, really hurt my family. I have spent a lot of nights falling asleep in front of my computer. I have, you know, when it all started for me, for quote unquote real, in the photography industry, was my husband quit his job. And he quit his job so that I could start my dream. You know, I could do this photography business. And he would be there with the kids and to support me. as a, you know, as a spouse and a caregiver for the kids and at home. And, but along with that, you know, it all sounded great in the beginning, but along with that came so much responsibility and such a huge burden on my shoulders. And I was not physically capable of handling it. You know, I was just not in a place in my life where I could just say, oh yeah, here I am, I'm the breadwinner. I spent a lot of years being a single mom. And now I'm married, and it's this wonderful supportive person who said, start your own business and do your thing, and I'll be here to support you. But there was still this chip on my shoulder that said, wait a second, I just got married again, and this isn't supposed to work this way. I'm not supposed to still be taking care of everything. And so, you know, it was this kind of downward spiral where I had this chip on my shoulder. I've got to take care of the family. I've got to support my family. I've got to do all these things. And so I did. I got busy fast. I marketed myself. I networked. I got out there and I did all these things. But at the same time, I ate away my family and I got divorced again and, you know, hurt my family. So the turning point for me was, okay, I have really screwed this up and I've got to make a decision now to turn things around, put systems in place and actually create a business and a lifestyle for myself and my family, or I have to quit, you know. And another thing that was taught to me years ago was, if you can sell, you will never be out of a job. You'll never be unemployable. And I knew I could sell. I knew I was a people person, and if I believe in something, I can sell it. And so I did at the time. I thought, you know what, if I have to go work for somebody else and sell or whatever I have to do, I can do that. But what I really want is to make this work, and I want to make it work not only as a business, but I want to make it work for my family. I want to make it right for my kids. I want to make it right for, you know, me as a mom. And so that was really my turning point, was just saying, I have to make this work all the way around or it doesn't work.
Right. It sounds like you got, for lack of a better way of putting it, you got reasonable about it.
I got knocked upside the head. Buddy.
Yeah, exactly. You got reasonable about it and kind of lifted out of, because I tell you, I've seen, as a business coach, I've seen so many amazingly creative people working in corporations and then decide to go out there on their own. And it's as if the logical side of their brain just cuts off. And they're shocked by the fact that they were able to run incredibly successful businesses or departments for other people. But the moment we go in business for ourselves as creative entrepreneurs, it's like the reasonable, logical side of the brain shuts off. And it sounds like there's a way. Yeah, and it sounds like there's a way in which, you know, your personal circumstances kind of reignited your commitment to the logical side of your brain. And it was a do or die moment. And I think that's fantastic. And I thank you for opening up on that. I think that's awesome. And to
down and dirty.
It's awesome, though. It's awesome. And it's rich. And to continue your story, because you alluded to this before, too, which I really so value in the way you go about things, is that yeah, there's, like you said, the true spirit of an entrepreneur is creating other streams of income. And to your point also, it is impossible to have a scalable business when you are trading time for dollars. So you have since created a very scalable business for yourself as an educator. So tell us a little bit about that, a little bit about what that model looks like and where you're going with that and how that has enriched your life.
Well, yeah, I think for many true entrepreneurs, it's an evolution that is very natural. And I know in our industry, in the photography industry, it's something that it's oftentimes looked down on. You know, well, that means that you can't make a living with your photography. You know, is really the way a lot of people look at it. And it's just so not true. You know, it's just another avenue. And, you know, I like money, but I've also, you know, I've got a real heart to give. I've got my organization and I give to a lot of different organizations. And I've just learned through the years, you know, if you make a lot, you can give a lot. That's just the fact. That's just the bottom line. You make a lot, you can give a lot. So, you know, I think overall, you know, being an entrepreneur means that you're always looking for ways to make money. Always.
Yeah.
And you're looking for ways to be profitable, and you're looking for that. And part of that for me is helping others to be profitable. And that is really, really fulfilling to me. And, I think for me, it was a natural evolution. I know the first time that I did a speaking engagement, it was a result of I entered in competition, one of my first competitions with Prince, and did really well. And someone asked me after that, you know, hey, we would love for you to come back to our state organization and do a program. And I was like, heck no. I can't do that. There is no freaking way. You know, and but I did. I ended up going, and I actually did it with another photographer who I greatly admired. And I said, okay, if I'm coming, if he can come do it with me, I'll do it. You know, I'll try this. But we did a program together, and my knees literally knocked together. I'm not a joke. Like, you don't just read about this. This happened. My knees knocked together, and I was so scared, and I couldn't even start my presentation. It was terrible. But by the end of it, and just getting into the groove and just sharing and just, you know, being open about the ups and the downs and the successes and the mistakes and getting back up and fighting and the things that were working and as well as the things that weren't. You know, by the end of it, seeing people that really just connected and were in tears or that came up to me afterwards and you were talking to me. This is exactly what I came for and what I needed to leave with. And I was hooked. You know, it was that thing that just said, I have to keep doing this. I have to keep giving the story to people and helping people to, you know, make a business out of this. If this is really what they want, I want to help them make it the best that it can possibly be. And so that became a real source of fulfillment for me, and it still is to this day, you know, something that I just kind of have to do. And I know you feel the same way.
Yeah. Well, that's what's so interesting. Like what you're saying, I couldn't agree with you more that there, for me, and I know you share this too, there's something as energizing and fulfilling about creating business and creating relationships in business as there is actually as creating photographs. And yet, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of creatives haven't found that yet. And what I find interesting is that I believe that at the core, every creative entrepreneur wants to leave a mark on the world. And whether they leave that mark on the world through photography or design or any other art expression, what intrigues me is, and I you certainly are an example of someone who in some way gets leaving your mark on the world through the business you create, not just the photographs. So how do we help creative entrepreneurs really see the value in that? That again, understand they want to leave a mark on the world, but the businesses that we create are a blank canvas. And I think truly an amazing mark we can leave on the world. And how do we inspire someone to get as excited about creating business as they do about creating their art?
Yeah, well, I think in the end it comes down to, you know, all of us can create, not all of us, but as creatives, we create art. That's what we do. You know, we either photograph or we make jewelry or we knit, you know, whatever we do, we create. Mm. But at the end of it, you know, I mean, I like to think of Andy Warhol, and I quote this all the time, but Andy Warhol is the one who said, being good in business is the most fascinating kind of art. And he said, you know, making money is art and working is art and good business is the best art. And so I think that's something that is it's very powerful when you can relay that to an artist, who's a business person, to say that, you know, what you have as a product or a service is of value to someone. It changes someone. It gives to someone. And, you know, and if you can think of selling as a service, you know, that was a big changer for me when I started thinking about, you know, if I'm selling to somebody, I am serving them. I am giving them something that is changing something about their lives. It's impacting their lives on a day-to-day basis, whether they're seeing portraits on their walls that are making them happy or remember an experience, or they're looking through an album that takes them back to a time when their family was all together and they loved each other, or, you know, whatever that experience was. When we are truly serving people with the art that we create. And I think that is a real game changer if you can really embrace that.
Mm-hmm. And to your point earlier, which I thought was really well said, but just the nature of charity, you know, a lot of creative people use their art to be charitable, and not to say that we can't do that, but if you can create a sustainable business that provides all that you need in your life plus more, true abundance, then you can truly give, which is what you've been able to turn around to do with Dondo Amour and in other ways that you give. Tell us a little bit about Dondo Amour before we move on in our interview. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that and what you've created.
Well, and of course, I'm super passionate about Dondo Amour, and that's a charity that I started, a nonprofit that I started with another photographer, Travis Googleman. And Travis has now since, he had an amazing studio, amazing photographer, and he had just a great profitable business. And he has given it all out to him now to be full-time with Dondo Amour. And, it's something that's definitely near and dear to our hearts. And we now have an orphanage in Ecuador, and we also serve in Haiti and in Africa. But Ecuador is my personal, what's near and dear to me, because we do have an orphanage there. It's a boys' home, and they're boys that we have known for the last 4 or 5 years while we've been working in Ecuador. And so it's something very special. And really, the entire mission with Dondo Amour, we work with orphanages all over. And really, every trip we take groups of people, and we just search out orphanages, and we're looking for ways that we can serve, ways that we can give, and changes that we can make. But really, the ultimate goal is changing the future of orphan children. And, you get there and you just realize how privileged we are where we live. And even people who, feel like, I don't have this and I don't have that and I wish I could afford that. And I mean, we have everything we need. And most of us have a parent or two that we can either, look back on in some sort of way that brought us. And even if we don't like everything about our parents, we have them, Yeah. And there are so many kids in these third world countries who, they were just never even given a chance. They never had parents who either wanted them, or they had parents who were abusive and left them on the side of roads or chained to trees and left them in trash bins. And we've met all kinds. But, there's nothing different about them as far as their hopes and their dreams. And those are the things that we want to facilitate. And so, getting to know these kids and really what their futures can be. And it's kind of that promise of a future. And so, we work with psychologists and social workers and English teachers and computer teachers. And, we employ all kinds of people in different countries that are working with these kids to provide better futures for them, and just skills and trades and even the want to and desire that they can be something different from where they came.
Well, that's just fantastic work. And, I'm curious, because you've spent time with some amazingly creative people who are highly successful, and people like Travis who, give up their entire businesses to follow a dream like this. Are there three common traits that you see in successful people? That's a big question. I know, it's a big question.
It is. Well, it kind of takes me back to what we talked about with, that power five and the five people you spend the most time with. And, I've definitely spent a lot of time in the past with people who are not positive for my business or my life. And, and that had to do with my own self-esteem at the time. And, that's a whole other interview, Jeff, but, but when you take all that to heart, I think that probably maybe the most traits, I guess, determination for sure. And I think gratefulness. I think gratefulness is way up there for me, and people that I see that are successful and people that I see that are positive people is gratefulness. And I seek out people who are grateful. And, one of the things that I've learned over time that is, if you're grateful, it's really hard to be unhappy. It's hard to be unkind. It's hard to make excuses or to be bitter. And, all these things that we see on a day-to-day basis, if you have gratefulness, it moves you forward. And that's something that I see in most successful people.
I would agree.
That's not three things, but...
That's okay. It's an awesome, I mean, determination, gratefulness, and positive thinking. I mean, actually, you did name three.
Definitely.
Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. So, Lori, in a moment, I'm going to ask you our discovery round questions. So while you're preparing yourself for these thought-provoking questions, we're going to hear about our friend Business Buddy, and we'll be right back.
Let's face it, being an entrepreneur can be challenging. What does every entrepreneur need when taking the road less traveled? A buddy. You need businessbuddy.org. Businessbuddy.org is your online resource and coaching support. Like Business Buddy Happy Hour, 1 hour a month of live coaching with Business Buddy to get all your important business questions answered. Watch compelling training videos with Business Buddy Training. Business Buddy Media Cafe has a podcast every week featuring outstanding guests with a wealth of information. Plus so much more in Business Buddy Development and Business Buddy Water Cooler. BusinessBuddy.org inspires, educates, and supports your personal buddy to get you on track and keep you going. Check out BusinessBuddy.org and start your free trial today.
All right, Lori, it is time for our discovery round questions. This is my juiciest part of the interview. So, first question, what drives you crazy?
Well, I'm laughing because it's funny that you just said juicy, because my biggest pet peeve in the whole wide world is gum.
Okay.
I think gum chewing is nasty and gross and disgusting, so don't chew gum around me.
That's awesome. I will definitely keep that in mind. And I could say you're the first interview that has ever said that. looking back, what's something that you can't believe you did for your career?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I would say, wow, Jeff, I mean, this one's hard.
That's fun. I have a long list. If you want to borrow any one of mine.
I mean, I think that probably the biggest thing, which is kind of funny because now I expect people to invest in me and you expect people to invest in you, but really business coaches, I mean, I would have never, I feel like I read a lot and educate myself a lot. I was definitely an education junkie for many years and went to every conference and convention and blah, blah, blah. But really, I mean, just continuing to hire business coaches. I think that's kind of my biggest thing.
Okay, cool. What's one thing, technology or otherwise, that you have found that makes your business or life easier?
I am not a techo, geeko kind of person. There are some tools that I love and I use daily, like Evernote is huge for me. My whole life is in Evernote, and I love that I can get to it from everywhere. But I'm big on writing things down, and so I like my printed pieces. I like my printed calendars, my notebooks. I'm a notebook junkie. I like clean notebooks. So I guess if I had to say technical, I'd say Evernote.
Cool. Okay. So our last question is, imagine you are sitting around a campfire and out of the darkness appears your greatest enemy, which does not have to be a person. What inner warrior inside yourself do you call upon and why?
So deep. you know, I'm going to go back to gratefulness as the warrior, because I really believe that anything that we're struggling with, if we find things to be grateful for in the moment, those things can be overcome.
That's awesome. The warrior of gratefulness. Very cool. So Lori has been so kind to offer for our community of creative warriors a couple things that will be on our offers page, which is creative-warriors.com. And what Lori is offering us is a SMART goal worksheet and a daily to-do list, both of which I know will get you on track to live your full life. So Lori, tell us a little bit about how people can reach you and stay in touch with you.
Well, Phototalk Biz for sure for photographers, and that's our membership site, and it's awesome. But I'm on Facebook, Lori Nordstrom, and Twitter is Nordstrom Photo. So Yeah, stay in touch.
Excellent. All right. So, again, you want to go to creative-warriors.com where you can not only get Lori's wonderful offers, but all the offers from previous guests as well, which is really kind of nice. And for those of you that are members of Business Buddy, don't forget to check out the members area for the bonus insights from my conversation with Lori today. And Lori, I want to thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Jeff.
It's always fun spending time with you. And that's it for now, warriors. Let's go out, create, serve, and be prosperous.